Invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 John, the book, the epistle of 1 John, and we continue to look here. We come upon a favorite portion of this epistle. To me, it's just a blessing. It tells about a blessing that the Lord has given us as His children, as from the standpoint of we who are not only saved, but members of one of His churches. A great, great blessing. If that has not dawned upon us, at least at times, and I know how it is with us, we understand a thing and we're blessed by it and we're encouraged by it. We're kind of revved up by it. And then with us, just it fades away. That happens to us. We're roller coaster. We just naturally we're up and down. We get out of ditches and get over across the road and get in the other ditch. We have tendencies to do those kind of things. But we will realize the blessing of not only being saved, but being a member of one of the Lord's churches in eternity for the things that He has in store for His bride. I think that we see that. We understand that from the Scriptures. The doing of that is the Lord's choosing. We know that the door and the way into the Lord's bride from the standpoint that we can understand it is through His church. And it is His doing and His choosing. But we will see the gloriousness of it on the other side when we are with Him. What a great privilege and blessing it is to be a part of one of His churches, certainly in that day. And may the Lord help us that we understand that now. And appreciate that and rejoice in that and thank Him for that. In this second chapter, we've seen about the advocate, the propitiation that our Lord Jesus Christ is. He's there at the right hand of the Father, and because He suffered the things that He did for our redemption, He is able to intercede for us and to take care of our sins, even those sins that we commit as His children. As we go along, we have a great promise in the first chapter. And we embarked upon those things that we know, knowing that we know Him, keeping His commandments. If we say we know Him and we don't keep His commandments, we're a liar. And so we need to understand that our action of what we say and what we understand from the Scripture and from our Lord is a testimony of what we believe. We do what we believe. We can say a lot of things, but what we believe is what we do. We need to keep His word. We need to abide in Him. We need to walk like He walked, as it tells us there in verse number 6. A new commandment, an old commandment. The commandment is the word of God, and the new commandment is the same. It's true in Him and in us, this unity. The darkness has passed. The true light shines. Our Lord Jesus has come. He's revealed Himself. He is the light. And we need to walk in that light. We're warned here about hating our brethren. To hate our brethren. That's the way the world works. That's been the things that we've been saved from. And we're not to hate our brethren. If we do so, we're walking in darkness. And we don't need to do that. We need to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. If we do so, there's no occasion of stumbling in us because we're walking in the light as our Lord Jesus walks in the light. He loves us, and we're to love one another as He has loved us. And then He delineates these different groups of young in the faith, the fathers, the young men, the intermediate. I think that that's what that's speaking about, not necessarily of the age of our where we're at physically in this mortal life, but I think He's speaking to us from the spiritual standpoint. Little children, fathers, young men, we have a calling, we have a thing that we're to be found in. We are used of our Lord to teach one another. And what a blessing it is. What a blessing it is for us to, as we submit to the Lord and we submit one to another, and we pray that the Lord will give us wisdom and understanding in the things that we need, and that He uses us, He uses one another to teach us these things. It's such a great, great, great blessing. The Lord, I believe the Lord for us, for our church, is answering prayers along that line, to teach us that the things that we need to know for this day and what our calling is now and for the days that lie ahead of us. The Lord is doing that for us, and what a blessing it is to see that and to hear that and to know that. I praise the Lord for it. He tells us here to love not the world, but to love Him. Listen, everything about the flesh and of this life, we're to hold it in its right place and use it well for the honor and service and glory of the Lord, for the furtherance of His kingdom. You know, that's a good way to look at it. Lord, the things that the talent you've blessed me with, the provision that you've blessed me with, help me to use it for the furtherance of your kingdom. The Lord knows we need to live. We need clothes. We need food. We need shelter. We need to be able to go about. We need to be able to work. We need to be able to go to school. All the things that we need. The Lord knows about that. But He will provide, and He has provided, and let us put them in their right place. The world is going to pass away, and all the desire of it is going to pass away, but those that do the will of God abide forever, verse 17. It's the last time antichrists abound. John said that in his day. And so are we going to have those that are opposite of Christ, against Christ today? Surely. Surely. I enjoy so very much what Brother Stephen brought out today in the Sunday school lesson, his Sunday school lesson about that place of the miracles and the signs and the wonders to authenticate the ministers of the Lord, the Word of God, the message of the Lord. You know, the miracles and the signs and the wonders don't stand alone. They're not it. It's the Word that stands, and then the Lord has given these things to back it up. And what a blessing that is. And we're recording those lessons, and they'll be available to listen to if you've missed any of them or want to listen to them again. We're going to look to have that. And then how it is in verse number 19 about those that go away. The scripture tells us that there's going to be a falling away before the Antichrist is revealed, before the end things and end things that the Lord tells us about in the end times, before they come about, there's going to be a falling away. And may we look to be faithful. May we pray to our Lord to help us to be faithful. We need His hand upon us. He says, these that go out from us, if they would have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And so there's that division because of Christ. There's that offense because of Christ and His word. And so now we come to this next portion that we want to focus on. And here, I want you to be listening for two things. Again, we're continuing to look for this word know, the things that we know, the things that we know because the Lord has given us these things. He has told us and taught us and given us these things. And we see here that we know Him. We know that we know Him by keeping His commandments. And then I also want you to be paying attention to this word unction and this word anointing. And in the Greek, these three occurrences in these remaining verses is the same. It's the same word. And it's talking about a smearing, like the putting on of a salve. It's speaking about the Holy Spirit. And it's speaking about, I believe it's speaking to us about this work of the Comforter in the church, in the churches that the Lord Jesus Himself promised the apostles and us, the Holy Spirit, His comforting work in the churches to give us and help us with the things that we need as we go along for our Lord Jesus Christ, for His sake. And so He says, they went out because they were not of us. But ye have an unction, verse 20, from the Holy One. This smearing, this application of this. We have this. We have this anointing. We have been anointed in this way. Not only at salvation, the indwelling of the Spirit of God within, but also this of the Spirit of God in the church. And when we talk about the church, when the Scripture talks about the church, the Lord talks about the church, speaking about this assembly, this congregation that is local here. We call ourselves Olmsted Baptist Church. It's not about the property that we own. It's not the buildings that we own, although that the community identifies us by the place that we meet. But may it not only be that, but may we be identified and known as the Lord sees us and as it truly is, the house of God that is made up of the members of you and me, the children of God called into this work. We have this unction. We have this anointing. And that word unction speaks about a pushing on, doesn't it? To move us on. That word unction does. That's the way I take that word. We've got marching orders, don't we? And a work to do. But ye that remain, not those that went out, but those that are here, those that are continuing, have an unction from the Holy One, from the Lord Himself, and ye know all things. Do you know everything? Well, we want to know, don't we? But we don't. But you know what? We can. And we can know the things that we need to know for the time and the things that are before us. I believe that. I believe that the Lord will help us if we seek His face in that. I often ask you, tell you, admonish you to pray about these things, whatever they may be. I really mean that. It's not just words. But take that point, take that consideration that we have before us as a church, and take that to our Lord, to your Lord. Lord, what would you have us to do? Give us wisdom and understanding about what to do. Help us to know. Help us to know. Help the men to know. Help Brother Jim to know. We can know the things that we need. You know, it's good to know other things from the Scriptures that aren't expedient for us to know right now. We don't need to know them. It's good to know other things. But certainly we need to know what we need right now, don't we? And the Spirit of God in His work in the Comforter can do this for us. And we need to have that faith about it. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. And here's that word know. But because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. So He's writing to those that are growing, we that are growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. He says, I'm not written to you because you know not. I'm not writing to you as an unbeliever. I'm writing to you as a believer, knowing the truth. I'm not writing to you as one outside of the church. I'm writing to you as one that's in the church. Okay? And a reaffirmation that no lie is of the truth. The truth may not make sense to the flesh, but the truth makes sense before God and is what we are to pursue. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? And watch out for that. And everything, you know, it's a message and messages that can be preached just on that subject. Jesus, the one that denieth that Jesus, that's his earthly name given to him at birth, is the Christ. You know, there's a lot of groups that want to take away from the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to take away from his deity, divinity. They want to take away from who he is and what he is. They want to take away from his attributes. They want to take his attributes and give them to another. And so liars do that, and we need to be aware. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And that relationship between the Father and the Son, we understand it from the Scriptures. The Father sent the Son. The Son was willing to come, and the Son came to glorify the Father. And that the Father, the Son, has done what the Father has assigned him to do, and the Father is doing the things that he promised the Son that he would do. And we are the benefactors of that. And so denying Jesus is an Antichrist position. And so beware of such. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. And so here We see those words in italics. There's something in the language that says that there needs to be a confirmation of the opposite. Whosoever hath denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, because the Son represents the Father and all that the Father sent him to do. And you deny Jesus, because there are those that do that. They deny Jesus, but they claim God. Well, if you deny Jesus and what he's been sent to do and what he says about himself and what the Father says about him and the whole work of God, understand, you can't deny Jesus and keep the Father. They are a package deal. They are unified in the great work that the Lord does amongst mankind. Let that therefore abide in you. He said, let that live in you. Let that sink down and be in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. It's been that way from the beginning. You know, think about John. Forgive me. Think about John. Growing up, John no doubt went to the synagogue there in Capernaum, or between Capernaum, Bethsaida, and that area there around the lake. He had heard Messiah's coming, sent by the Father, promised over and over and over and over and over again. So Messiah, whoever he is, sent by the Father, had all those other verses that tell us about messianic prophecy about Messiah. Then along the way ran into John the Baptist, and who's he preaching about? Messiah. That he's at hand. That he's coming. As a matter of fact, he's here. And then John the Baptist reveals that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the earth, the sin of the world. And so he says, let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning, from the word of God, from the Pentateuch, the prophets, minor and major. All of that, it all spoke about that. The word of God is telling the same account. And then John says, not only did we get it from the beginning, and as he writes, there are those that were saved after the time that John was saved himself, in meeting John the Baptist, was baptized, met the Lord Jesus Christ, was called by the Lord Jesus Christ. That whole ministry went out and was a witness to others. There are those, and certainly you and I, we come after that time. But what have we heard from the beginning? What's been the ministry of the Lord's churches and the ministers of the Lord, the children of the Lord, the witness of the Lord? That the Lord Jesus is the Savior. That Messiah is coming. And he has come. And he has fulfilled his gospel. Let that therefore abide in you. He's been sent by the Father, and he's come to obey the Father for the sake of sinners, for the sake of his people, and he's accomplished that redemptive, atoning work. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If, here's one of these ifs in the scripture, a challenge to those that claim to be the children of God, if that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Does it abide in us? Does it remain in us? Do we believe? Are you a believer? Have you received that? Have you been saved by him? If that ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And so we continue on. You know, the Word of God speaks to us, and we learn. We're reminded of things that we forget. But, you know, there's a lot of it that's repetition, isn't it? But the thing is that repetition is good. May God help us that it never gets boring. I think that there's temptation. I think there's temptation with some. I think erroneous doctrine comes out of being bored with the scripture that we have, with the message, getting bored with the message that we have. It's all in the Son, and the Son is never old, and the work of the Father is never old. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father, continuing on in him. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. We will live forever. And granted, every soul is going to live forever. We touched on that this morning, whether it be hell in the lake of fire or whether it be in glory with the Lord, the new heaven, the new earth, in heaven for a period of time, on this earth for the millennial reign. Everybody's going to live forever somewhere. But I tell you what, to be in hell in the lake of fire is no life. It's eternal death is what it's called. What the Lord calls it, it is eternal death. But he's promised us eternal life. And eternal means just that, eternal. Once given, it can never be taken away. Once possessed, there's nothing that can separate us from it. We are eternally saved by the Lord. He died once to redeem his people, to redeem sinners, and that they may live forevermore. Just like he told Nicodemus there in John 3, he tells us, it's everlasting. It never, never quits. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Yeah, 1900 years ago, there were people that were saying, oh, that's not really true. That's off. That teaching is off. You need to get lined up. You need to get lined up better with something you can see. You know, you need to get lined up with this. There's always going to be seducers. There's always going to be those that are going to lure away from the truth. They abound. They did in John's day. And he is writing to them and to us, and certainly they abound in our day. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. There may be seduction from the standpoint of spiritual things. There may be seduction from the standpoint of carnal things. You know, I mean, think about it. If we get ourselves off in some kind of carnal sin, are we not spiritually distracted from what we're to be about in taking this body and using it for the Lord? Yeah. So the areas, the realms, the possibilities, the avenues of seduction are wide and varied. But John writes to us about these things, about this unction, about this anointing, about what our Lord's done for us, about what the Father has done for us through the Son, about these that deny the Son and want to push him away, but only receive the Father. The Judaizers were along that line, weren't they? He's writing these things to confirm and to settle us that we might be solid in what the Lord has done for us. Verse 27, but the anointing, that same word is unction in verse number 20, that smearing on of the Holy Spirit. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. He lives within us. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And so yet another affirmation that the things that we don't know, the Lord will teach us. We can go to him with our need. We can go to him with the cases, the situations that we have before us, and he will teach us. He will show us. You know, as you read your Bible, as you study your Bible, as you look into the Word of God, do you run across passages? You say, Lord, I'd like to know more about that. What does that mean? Lord, I just don't understand what this is really talking about, and I don't understand how I can take this and bring this to my life. Do you do that? I tell you what, we can, and we should. Lord, teach me the application. Teach me what this word means to me as this person, this child, this member of the church. Show this. What can I learn? What will you teach me, Lord? Teach me. I tell you what, we need to go to the Lord like that. But the anointing which you have received of him, of the Lord, abideth in you, lives within us, and you need not that any man teach you. Now, the Lord uses instrumentality, but when I'm up here preaching or teaching, or one of the other brethren are teaching or preaching, is it us that teaches you? No, it's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that uses the instrumentality, uses the mouthpiece to convey the Word of God. I was talking to Brother Stephen this morning about how we take, we know so many facts in the Scripture. I trust that that's so. We know a lot of different facts and stuff, but we got to, sometimes we do very well. We got to do well to take those facts and line them up in a way that we can take them and practically use them in the things that he's been teaching, things that we need to know. Things that we need to know now and for the future as we go forward. We need to have that structure in that. And so we know a lot of pieces and parts. Maybe we've got, it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle in a sense. We got some of it put together here, and we get that. We got some of it put together, and we get that. And you know what? Sometimes we need to take some of those pieces and put them together so we understand the picture the way the Lord sees it, the way the Lord gives it to us in his Word. In this unction, this anointing, he will do just that for us. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need that not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide, live in him. And now, little children, abide in him. Live in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Not be yielding to that seduction. Not be off chasing something and delving into something that we don't belong as the children of God. But be being about the business that the Lord's given us to do. To follow him, to be fellowshipping with him. Do you fellowship with your Lord? Do you and I, do we visit with him? Do we speak to him in prayer? Does he speak to us in his Word? When we take real things and bring them before him, having expectation that he will give us real answers for our particular need at hand. That's living in the Lord. Some would say, well, it's kind of childish. I mean, I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Well, I tell you what, we are children. We are children. And do well for us to know that is the truth before our Lord. And to take our care, to take our hurt, to take our need, to take our thanksgiving, our praise, our worship unto him in every way. We don't want to be ashamed before him, do we? Have you ever had the thought, maybe being involved with something you shouldn't be involved with? Maybe at the time, a time that was wrong, maybe nothing wrong with the thing in itself itself, but the time was wrong or whatever, and you say, oh my, I hope the Lord doesn't come now. I mean, when the Lord comes back, we don't want to be found sinning against him, do we? No. Abide in him. Live in him. If ye know, verse 29, if ye know, there that word is again. We've seen it here in verses 20 and 21. We know all things from this unction of the Holy One. He writes unto us because we know the truth. Verse 23, this acknowledging about the Son. And verse number 29, if ye know that he is righteous. Do we know that he is righteous? Do we know how righteous he is? Not one sin ever. It's by his righteousness we've been justified. That's a test of our righteousness, is this test of justification. Justification, if you will, comes along. The Lord comes along and says, is this person justified? Oh, I see the righteousness of my Son. They are. It's just like that. One that would claim their own righteousness, is this person justified? Oh, no. They're claiming their own righteousness. The righteousness of my Son is the only righteousness that brings justification. If we know that he is righteous, I pray that we do. May we know the extent of his righteousness. You know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. There's that obedience again. And may our Lord help us that we would be obedient to him. You know, I'll go ahead and mention to you, there's a verse that's claimed in Psalm 105, verse number 15, about touching not the Lord's anointed. And sad to say, many a minister, many a pastor has used that for defense in quarrelsome or sinful times. Well, tell you what, we need to understand the Word of God better than that. If I sin, even as your pastor, it's not to be covered up. It's to be dealt with, just like a member. The calling of God is without repentance. Oh, yeah, the Lord has called me to be a pastor, but if I sin, I'm not to be given a by on that. I'm to be dealt with in that. This church would need to deal with that if I would be found of open public sin as is defined and given out in the Scriptures and qualifications of being a pastor and those things that even that I read this morning or this afternoon in 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. It's not that a man can get by. You know who the anointed of the Lord is? Oh, yeah, the Lord calls men to different service, indeed. But the Lord's anointed are his children. His children. And so a pastor needs to watch out how he deals with the Lord's children, being one himself. Because the Lord is going to bring vengeance on those who abuse the Lord's children. And a pastor, a minister of the Lord, has that place and honor and leadership that he's to have, and he's to take that and do well with it. But it's set apart for service, but it's not a different order of child of God. And so I don't want to come across this passage without making mention of that. You and I, we who are saved and members of Olmsted Baptist Church, we are the Lord's anointed. And you know what? We need to behave like it. We need to know the promise and the calling that is given unto us. We need to know our Lord and abide in him and fellowship with him. And we need to claim this great blessing of this smearing on in this extra way of the Spirit of God. You know, those who are saved are saved. They're the children of God. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I tell you what, being saved is the greatest blessing. There's nothing greater than being saved. But then that the Lord would call us into his church to be his representative, there are things that we have been called into and things that we can know and things for which we are responsible. That is blessing, authoritative, responsibility, and touch of the Lord that we've been given. That we need to know that we have this and we need to rejoice in it and we need to go forward in it because not everybody's been given this. And may we use it well. May God help us in it. Next time, Lord willing, we'll go on to chapter 3 and about the talking where he talks about love. He's going to make a transition here speaking about love and about hope. And we've touched on this verse on Wednesday nights and we'll continue on in the passage.